I want to talk to you today about today. Amen. And can we bring those in? I want to talk to you today about today, and it's really important that we not, here, watch me not down. Let me tell you, they're just going to bring something in. It ain't going to change your life. Okay, I'll use this as a coaching moment. When somebody gets up and goes to the bathroom, you know what I mean? Everyone's like, they're just going to the bathroom, and you just go to the bathroom and come back. Happens all the time. But I teach you that. I use a coaching moment now because the Bible says that Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. And so you've got to have a laser-like focus when the word of God is preached. You've got to make your mind up that you're not going to allow your mind to start thinking about, what color the Patriots are going to, what jerseys they're going to wear, what jerseys are, how many know, the Rams can wear white and yellow and blue, they can be yellow and blue, how many know, that's not going to change your world, amen? How many know that's not going to help your marriage out any? Oh, honey, they wear yellow today, praise the Lord. No, that ain't going to help. But what I'm going to teach you today can change your life forever. It can have an effect. One word that you'll receive from God can change your life forever. And let me tell you what word can change your life forever today is the word that I'm preaching today. I want to talk to you about the sweet spot. And in when in a baseball, there's a sweet spot in that bat. And if the guy swings, if it's too close to where his hands are, it's not going to be a very good hit. If it's too far at the end of the bat, it's not going to be a good hit. If it's at the top of the bat, it's going to be a pop-up. If it's at the bottom of the bat, it's going to be a grounder. It's easy out. Listen to me. The reality is, but there's a sweet spot. Somebody say sweet spot. Sweet spot. There's a sweet spot, and that is a spot that if they'll hit that spot, that ball can go all the way out of the park. How many know that's true? When I was in the grocery store, I wanted to get promoted. I was a box boy, and I wanted to get promoted. Yeah, now they call them courtesy clerks. You know what I mean? We don't want to say a box boy. I mean, so they're courtesy clerks. And so, I wanted to get promoted because when you got promoted, there was a big, big difference in pay. And so if they asked me to stay over, I'd always say stay over. If they asked me to do, I remember one time one of the night crew guys called in sick and they didn't, and I was working that late shift and they said, hey, can you stay and help us? I said, yeah, sure. So the guy said, do you know how to make end displays? And I was like, yeah, I know how to make end displays. But the truth is I didn't know how to make end displays. And so he brought a bunch of the boxes out. And he said, okay, make the end display, put it right here. And I started, kind of putting the box on top, trying to cut it and whatever. I'm trying to look at the other end display, trying to figure it out. And the guy comes back in 10 minutes. He goes, you don't know how to make end displays, do you? I'm like, no, I don't even know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? But I had a willingness to try. I wanted to get promoted. One day, in our grocery store, it was an old grocery store. So the new ones, you just go inside of the freezer and you fill it from the inside, and all the milk runs down. But in that one, it was an old time, and you had to two wheel all the crates out, and you had to take them out front of the box, and you filled it from the front, and then you take your empty crates, and that's how it was. So one time, the guy came out, and he was the clerk, and he was filling the box, and I was the box person, and he wanted to go home on time, and he put too much milk out. So he said, hey, I'm all done. Can you help me roll this milk back to the box? And what did I say? I said, yeah, sure. but I didn't really know what I was doing. And it was a big stack. And it was all the gallons. And so I said, well, I know how I wanted to do this. And I went like this. And I when I went like this, I was like, oh, what am I doing? But, you know, I didn't want to say, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't want to put him back down and say, I'm sorry, I don't really know what I'm doing. So I took them, and I remember this like it was yesterday, and I went over here, and I had it, and I came this way, and I was going into the box, and the box, it kind of went up a little bit, had this little lip on it, and it shouldn't have, but it did, and so when I had it, I went up, and it wasn't going, so I pushed it, and when I pushed it, it, of course, it went forward, and the milk, when it hit, it just all exploded. And we had, you know, there were four, you know, whatever, four times eight, whatever that is, you know what, gallons of milk all over the place. And that guy thought, what in the world? I never should have, what a goofball, you know, box guy. You know, I didn't even know what he's doing. And why? Because that wasn't the sweet spot. See, I can do it like this, which is how it was designed. This is easy to do. You know what? You don't stack it more than four, because as soon as you put more than four, it starts squishing all the things. You can't see what you're doing. You can't maneuver it. You don't even know where you're going. It's just a bad plan. And watch this. This is the sweet spot. This is not the sweet spot. This is the crazy place. Okay. Now, here's my question. Where do you live? Do you live in the crazy place, or do you live in the sweet spot? Oh, Pastor, I don't work in the grocery store. No. I'm talking about your life. Because in our life, there's a sweet spot I'm going to talk to you today, and there's a crazy place that I'm going to talk to you today. And I would say that many of us live way too long. See how dangerous that is? It's just crazy. I told you it was crazy. Many of us, this is where we live. What am I talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. The sweet spot in our life is today. Some would say the sweet spot is today. Okay. The crazy place that many of us live is in the past and in the future. That's a crazy place. And many people, that's all they live. They never live in the sweet spot. You know, I used to golf, you know what? Actually, before we had kids, I used to golf pretty regularly. And there's a place, and you'll take that driver back, and you'll swing, and when you hit it cleanly, it's just awesome, because that ball just goes. And I do that like every once in a while. Mainly what I do is I do the crazy place. Okay. And it hits, and it just like to the left or to the right, or it's just crazy. The sweet spot for us is today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen. Today is the day of wholeness. Today is the day that God says, here, let me tell you what we have. We have today. And let me tell you what you have. You only have today. See, it's and let me tell you why I'm thinking about this. It's still the beginning, towards the beginning of the year, and I'm thinking, you know what? And I've said it, and there's nothing wrong with saying it. You know what? Matter of fact, it's good to say that 2019 is going to be your best year ever. That 2019 is when your marriage is going to, you know what, get better than ever. Where your finances is going to get better than ever. That, you know what, maybe if you want to get, you know what, a little healthier. That, you know what, maybe you're going to lose a little weight. Maybe you're going to the most important thing we talked about last week is get closer to God. Amen. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. But here's the thing. How many know you don't live your life in years? You live your life in days. And so what we do is we have these declarations. You know, I'm gonna have a great year. But what we need to do is break it down and say, no, I'm not going to have a great year. I'm going to have a great day. Come on, amen. See, how are you going to have a blessed year? You have to have blessed months. How are you going to have blessed months? You have to have blessed weeks. How are you going to have blessed weeks? You have to have blessed days. Amen. Is this making sense to anybody? Today is the day that God has given you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is what matters. I love this passage, and this is in Psalms 90, verse 12. The 90th Psalm, verse 12. The Bible says, teach us how short our life is so that we might become wise. How many old enough to recognize how short your life is? You know, I remember when I was a freshman, you know what, at Pioneer High School. And I remember thinking, oh, man, it's going to be forever that I'm going to graduate. How many know 4 years now doesn't seem like it takes like, you know, 30 seconds and 4 years goes by? See, the older you get, you recognize your life goes by so quick. And the psalmist is saying, God, help us to recognize, help us to live our life in days, not in weeks, not in months, not in years. Help us to say, you know what, today is the day that I need to make good decisions. You know, you can't make decisions about tomorrow. You know, you can't. You know, it's impossible to make decisions about tomorrow. So, yeah, but I think, you know what, no. Listen, it's James Clear wrote a book called Atomic Habits. And in his book, I quoted it last week, but in his book, he says this. He says that goals don't work. Listen to me. He says systems work. Goals don't work. Systems work. Now, you say, yeah, but Pastor, I've heard from a lot of smart people that we're supposed to write down goals. Yes, yes, absolutely. Write down goals. Have goals and write down goals. Very, very smart. But the reason why James Clear says systems work, goals don't, is because systems are a day-to-day practical application of how your goals are going to happen. Does that make sense? And what we tend to do, what Satan wants to do, is he wants us to always look at, you know what we did wrong in the past, amen, and what might happen or might not happen in the future. The problem with that is, as you're always looking at your past and recognizing, you know what, who, you know, how jacked up you are, what all the stupid things you did in the past, or, listen, this is a big one, or all the people that hurt you in the past. I'm just asking, how many of you have ever been hurt in the past? Somebody hurt you in the past, raise up your hands. Okay, that's almost everyone. If your hand's not up, you know what? The Bible says liars go to a certain place. We'll talk about that later. Okay? But how many know all of us have been hurt? Let me ask you another question. How many have been hurt over and over and over and over again? Raise your hand if you've been hurt over and over. How many have been hurt sometimes by the same person over and over and over again? Well, listen. I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. Listen to me. All eyes up here. You need to be really careful when you start villainizing anyone. Okay. Can I say something loving but very strong? Okay. All eyes up here. It's not your place. It's not your place. And when you go into the place that's not your place, you're about to spill your milk. And it's going to be a big mess. And God is speaking to you, not because he wants to be harsh, but because he wants to be loving. And he's speaking to you right now, and he's saying, hey, stay in the sweet spot. God speaks about the Israelites in some pretty real terms. Can I tell you what? God wants us to be obedient. And he had all these blessings for the Israelites. You know, God blessed the Israelites so much. Imagine this. Just, you know, you wake up in the morning. You know what I mean? You wake up in the morning and like, and you go outside and you just pick up your food. That's what the Israelites could do. They didn't have to go to the grocery store. They didn't have to cook it. They didn't have to. They didn't have to prepare it. They, all they had to do is walk outside, because God said, "Let me tell you what. I'm going to take care of you."
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. But listen, but the Israelites, you know what? They didn't live in today. You know what? It was called manna, and God provided it for them. They went out, and when the dew in the morning, it would go out, and they could get all the manna. Listen, that they needed. What does Luke say? Luke chapter 6, verse 11 says this. You know what? Give us this day our daily bread. One version says, give us the bread that we really need. What's bread represent? You know what bread represents? That which sustains you. God says, so Jesus is teaching the apostles, and the apostles come to Jesus and say, Jesus, how should we pray? We don't know how to, watch this. How should we talk to Father? And he says, here's how you should talk. Here's how Father wants you to talk to him. He wants you to say this. Hey, Dad, I am dependent upon you. Watch this. Every day. That's what he's saying. Bread representing that which sustains us. God wants us every single day to be dependent upon him. So the Israelites who, you know what, who are totally blessed, they won't go there. And we get in the same mess as we start to question God and what he's doing. Now listen to me very carefully. There's, somebody say, look at the past. I'm going to break it down two ways. When you're looking at the past, here's why it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous for two reasons. Number one, people look at the past with admiration. Right? Right? She's a brick house. Right? 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 Play that funky music, white boy. Amen. Do you see this at weddings? Do you see this at weddings? Bunch of Christian people. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you can't dance funky white boy at Christian weddings. I'm not saying you go to hell if you do that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you know what? You see this at weddings. You know what? So the DJ puts on, play that funky. Ah! Right? Listen. Do you remember those days? They weren't good days, amen. And you were drunk, and you were, you know what, smoking weed, and you were crazy, and you slept around, and yuck. And God, listen, these things are not pleasing to God. Let me tell you why they're not pleasing. Oh, you're just trying to, you old fuddy-duddy. No, I'm not fuddy-duddy. I'm a smarty-warty, amen. Amen. God's commandments are not burdensome. Amen. You want to get drunk? The Bible doesn't. You know the Bible doesn't tell you not to get drunk.
Oh, there it is.
False doctrine. No, the Bible doesn't tell you not to get drunk. The Bible tells you don't get drunk with alcohol. That's what the Bible says. Don't let any other substance. Let the Holy Spirit get you drunk. I mean, the Holy Spirit can intoxicate you. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, I never heard that. Look it up in your Bible. Okay. God doesn't want us dependent on these outside sources to get us high. He wants to get us high. Amen. Can you say that? Yes. There's a high that there's a contentment. Listen to me. There's a contentment, if you freak out on these words, there's a contentment that God has for you that will way, way surpass any contentment of any substance that you could put in your body. Amen? Amen. And but what they were too busy looking, too busy focusing on, you know what this, oh, it was so good when we were, when listen how crazy this is. It was so good when we were slaves. Yeah, oh, we got to, you know, oh, the leeks and the onions. You know what I mean? So I told you, you onion lovers, you know what? Onions are evil. I'm just telling you, onions are evil. Amen. It's in the Bible. Onions are evil. Okay. Onions really aren't evil, and neither are leeks. I have to tell the truth. But what is evil is you looking back at your bondage with eyes of admiration. Thank you. That's evil. Don't do that. Don't admire. Don't admire the ungodly. You know what? Some of you really haven't tapped into that ungodly stuff. You know what? Don't be jealous of them. Stay away from it. Amen. Stay far. The Bible said, abhorred evil. Recognize that's not you. That's not who you are. But the Israelites wouldn't do that. You look back in the past in two ways. You either admire the past or you look in the past and you look and go, oh my goodness, you live in the past. In what you did. And that's what you did is who you are. What you did isn't anything but what you did. Amen? And join the stupid club. Amen? I said join the stupid club. Amen? Just join me. Which one of us have things that we did in the past that we're proud of? All of us have done stupid things. So what? Amen? Did the blood of Jesus, does it cleanse us from our unrighteousness? If it does, then let's be free. To he who has been set free, let's be free indeed. Let's get out of the past. Let's recognize that God has created something inside you that is new. And that's who you need to identify with. That's who you are. And the Israelites, they kept on looking at the past and looking at the past and looking at the past. And God says to the Israelites, you are going to stay in bondage. You will die in the desert. You will never get into the promised land that I wanted you to go into, but because you kept on holding on to your past, you know what? That's, and you know what he says? And your disobedience. Our past jacks us up. Can I tell you what other thing jacks us up? You know what? Looking to the future jacks us up. You know what they said? Here's what they said. Here's how much faith the Israelites had. They said, why did you bring us out to the desert to kill our wives and kill our kids? Can you imagine saying that about the character of God? Can you imagine that? Can I tell you what? I'm setting you up. Do we think the same way? Because let me tell you what God says to us. He says, you know what, I want you to trust me in your future. I want you to, you know what, when Shayla was just born, I had a wonderful pastor, and he taught me this, and he said, Drew, he said, God won't give you grace for tomorrow, but he'll give you grace for today. Well, I really needed to hear that. You know what? Tamara tells me about, you know what? You know, she's, you've heard this story, but many of you haven't, but some of you have, but I'll tell it again. So Tamara, you know what? We're trying to have a baby. She gets pregnant. You know, she finds all this out by herself. You know what I mean? And she's going to tell me, and it's going to be a happy day. And so she knows I like to eat outside, and so she takes me to one of our favorite places to go, and we were outside, and she had a book that said, how to be a blessing to your daughter. Then she had another book, how to be a blessing to your son. And she had both of them because she didn't know it was a girl, boy or a girl. And so, you know what? I'm eating my burger and she gives me this. And I'm like, oh, these are nice books. Inside I was freaked out. what are you freaked out? Oh, I'm going to be a dad. You know, yeah, let me tell you what I was freaked out. I was freaked out about how much diapers cost. True story. And I was freaked out on how much, you know what, baby formula cost. I was like, oh, in the crib and all the stroller and all. Ah! And I was thinking all this. Ah! I was thinking all this inside. But I knew, you know, you don't say something, amen. Say, honey, give her a hug or say you love her. Or say, oh, this is going to be great. Say something. And I couldn't say anything. All I could be, I was like petrified. You know, petrified, like you can't move. And I thought, I was having like this, almost like, you know, when your mind is thinking, do something. You know, like a dream, you're trying to run in slow motion, or you can't move. That's like, and it's like, go, move, say something. But it's like, what was that about? Can I tell you what that is about? It's about not trusting God. Can I tell you what that was about? Not trusting God. And this pastor blessed me. Because, you know, I got past that moment. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You know, finally, I smiled and said, I love you or something. You know what I mean? Finally, I got past that moment. But the reality, I was still freaking out. What was I freaking out? I was thinking about, whoa, Shaylin, junior high. Ah. Shaylin, junior high. She's not even born yet. I'm freaking out about junior high. Can I tell you what? That's where we live. Say, Pastor, but you plan for the future. You're always talking about, hey, outdoor projects and be awesome. We're going to walk outside. And let me tell you what. I do plan for the future. God speaks to me prophetically about what's going to happen in the future. Amen? Amen? And God will speak. That's what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will speak to you about things to come. That's what Jesus said, talking about the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you what. You know what, I didn't get up today as it was raining last night. I knew it was going to be raining. I was like, I'm so mad. You know, Pastor Tamron, he goes, oh, what are you so mad about? I'll tell you why I'm mad. I'm mad because we could have been outdoor project. It could have been awesome. We'd be inside. We'd be outside, but we'd be inside. It'd be raining. We'd see it all, and we'd hear it all, and it would just be so awesome. Who's got time for that? Amen. You know, as we're so looking about in the future and we're so discontent about the present. Somebody say, you only have today. You know, we need to get up and before our feet hit the ground, we need to become dependent upon God every day. Today, listen, I can't even make coffee for my wife tomorrow. Can I make coffee for her today? Yeah, but you could say you're going to make coffee for her tomorrow. I know, but I can't make coffee for her tomorrow. I can make coffee for her today. Watch this. Tomorrow, I can make coffee for her. Can I not? Listen, all you have is today. Choice, don't get me wrong, choices that you make are important, that you make good choices, because good choices, good life. You make good choices and they will start, good habits, good choices start to duplicate themselves and they start to have this accumulative positive effect. Make godly choices and your future is going to be awesome. But listen, you can't make godly choices tomorrow. You can only make godly choices today. Come on, let's, you know, the light bulb will go on. We're so used to wrong terminology. I can make good choices tomorrow. You can make good choices tomorrow. Is that not right? Is that not right? But you can make good choices today. I mean, you can't make choices for tomorrow today. You can only make good choices today for today. Is the light bulb going on to somebody? You should get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for today. And yes, praise God. Thank you that you're going to bless my month and bless my week and bless my year. But God, the main thing I want to focus on is you blessing me today. We live so out of, we live over here and we don't live over here. Let me tell you what. This is the sweet spot. You want to have a good relationship with your wife? Get her some coffee today. Amen. You want to have a good relationship with your husband? You know what? Give him a big smack today. Listen, I'm telling you. Amen. Don't give him no funky, you know, peck on the cheek. Amen. You know, you listen, you kiss your uncle that way, but don't kiss your husband that way. Amen. 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 How many know this is a good teaching church? Amen. No. And let me say this, because we talked about being hurt. I would venture to say, you know, of course, sometimes we have, you know what, managers that hurt us, and, you know, different people in the world hurt us. We understand that. But can I tell you what? You know who hurts you the most? Those who are closest to you. They not only hurt you the most, but they also have a tendency to hurt you, this is deep, hurt you the most in that repetitively. Does that make sense? And there's something that in our minds we think, you know what? You know, this is the world that. You know what God says to this? He says that to that. Amen. You know, it is not your place to not forgive. You know, Jesus said this, that if someone keeps on coming back to you and asking for forgiveness, that you must continue to forgive them. But you know what you and I want to do? We want to judge. Let me tell you what, I know your motive, I know how you think, I know what you're doing, I know you're just doing that because of, listen, that's so gross. That's gross. Why? Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's not your position. Here, when you go home, look up, it's in the New Testament, look up where it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and then read three verses above it and three verses below it. You know what you're going to find? It's amazing. Listen, you want to do some cool studies? Find verses that you know. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And read three verses above and three verses below. Read any verse that you love, that you know out of context, and then put it back in, and it will explode. Let me explode this one for you a little bit. That verse that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, you know what it'll teach you? It'll teach you, the verse before and after, to be kind to those who are not being kind to you. And he says in that passage that by that way you are heaping coals. Be careful to say amen to this, because you have no idea what you're saying, most of you. You're heaping hot burning coals on their head. Okay. And you know what our carnal mind says? Ooh, that's good. I'm going to be so nice to them, it's going to burn their head. You ugly thing, you. It's not what he's saying at all. What he's saying is they used these burning coals, fire was so important and so, you know, how many know you didn't just have a Bic lighter to light something back then? You know what I mean? So when somebody would have a burning coal that was fiery hot and they gave it to you, it was it was a very kind thing to do, because you could start a fire from that coal. And people used to transport those things on, you carry all kinds of things on their head with, you know, different pottery and that kind of stuff. And so it was a way, listen to me, it was a way to bless people. See, God intends for you to walk in forgiveness to those people that have hurt you. And I'm just here to tell you, most of them, they hurt you the most because they're the closest to you. They hurt you the most because they're repetitive. Well, can I just remind you of something? God says to you this morning, get over it. And then get over it tomorrow if they do it again. And then get over it tomorrow if they do it again. And get over it tomorrow, because that's what Jesus says to you. See, we get all bound up. We get all so frustrated. And we make all kinds of judgments. And God says, you know, what are you doing? You're not in your sweet spot. You know what your sweet spot is? Your sweet spot is, oh, that's okay. You know, I act really dumb a lot of times too. I'm just asking. Do you act dumb a lot of times too? Can I help you out? Come here. Did you get that? Give. And it will come back to you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together. Running. See, there's the sweet spot that as you give grace, as you give mercy, the Bible says the same way that you give it out is how it gives back to you. So you give mercy, and guess what? Man, you're like, oh, man, it's a happy day. And I thank God for the weather. You're just in this sweet place. And people will look at you like Tamara used to look at me when I walked in Albertsons. Everybody's going, how late you work? When's your break? When do you get off? How's your break? When's your break? When do you get off? And I come in, it's a happy day. Why? Because I'm, you know, in the milk box, I was a, you know, ding dong. But I tell you what, in the things of God, I was in the sweet spot. Amen. How do you do that? You just wake up every day and say, God, you know what? I cast my cares upon you. You start living in today. You start enjoying. You know what? When we were, you said, yeah, but you know, weren't you happy when you came over here? And we were finally, we raised the money and we built the North Sanctuary. Somebody hadn't been in the church in a while, and they came back and they said, Pastor, the South Sanctuary is awesome. The sound is awesome. It's so cool. It's awesome. I was like, oh, that's so good to hear. I agree with you. It is awesome. But when we were in the North Sanctuary, I was like, stupid. No. It didn't. Listen, before we had the insulation, when we were sweating, what my wife said, when we were sweating bullets, you know, I used to, oh, you know, you're done. Oh, I'm done, because everybody's going like, you know, when people started doing this, you know, and they're like, they're, what are they saying? How many know it's hard to preach like this? You know, you got, you know what? And we only had like 50 people, but even 50 people going like this, you know, it's, okay, you know, I get it. I'm done. You know, even if I wasn't done, I was done. You know, what's my point? My point is, awesome ministry took place over there. Who's got time to complain about what you don't have? We got to recognize what we do have. Amen. God is God. And what's the best thing we have? We got God. Amen. Every day we got God. I want you to wake up today. I want you to wake up tomorrow before your feet hit the floor. I want you to say, God, thank you for today. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my family. Thank you. Today is going to be a day that I give it to you. I'm not like Israel. I'm not going to live my life in the past, and I'm not going to be complacent about the future. I'm going to say, God, this is the day. I'm going to believe you're going to bless me. I'm going to believe for miracles. I'm going to believe for good things, because you promised me that goodness and mercy would follow me all the days of my life. But I can't live tomorrow, but I'm going to live today, and mercy and goodness are following. Whoa, they're getting me. They're right behind me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And that is how we need to start our days. And you start living in today, and all of a sudden you're like, man, what is with that kooky guy? He's always so happy. Why? Because I was always so, because I had, you know why? Because I've learned to live my life today.
Yes.
I'm going to be happy today. Am I going to be happy when we build an outdoor? Absolutely. But that's not going to stop me from being happy today. Are you kidding me? Look at who I got in the front row. Look at the second row. Look at the third row. Look at the, oh, hallelujah. I even have my buddy that, you know what, used to play water polo. Lawrence Charles. And Lawrence Charles used to get up. Are you kidding me? He used to get up on the high board. You know, the low board. He used to get up on the high board. And all the water polo guys, I was a water polo guy, all the water polo, he'd say, hey, hey, and he'd get his attention. And then he'd jump off and he'd scream, bonsai! And what would we do? Every single one of us would try to hit him. And all, this is a true story. And all you'd see is all these water polo balls, and it was hardly ever did he even get hit. We'd get all happy. Larry'd go up, bonsai. We're like, ah! And he'd even wait. He'd say, you guys ready? Are you ready? And he'd jive out, and we went, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Listen, I'm a blessed man. Lawrence is with us today, and his wife is with us today, and you're with us today. See, and you listen, and you got the same blessings. But are you going to miss today? Because you're too busy looking at, you know what, the people who hurt you in the past. Are you going to miss today because you don't have faith that God is going to take care of tomorrow? No. God is going to take care of you. But let's get his manna today, because it's plentiful. Amen.
It's interesting because I was sitting there thinking about the chairs. You know what I was doing? Here, I'm going to tell you about a testimony of the chairs, the very chairs that you sit in. And what I was doing is, in figuring out what God was, how he was going to do it, I'm looking at tomorrow. And I figured it out.
That's right.
This is so interesting. But the way it happened was on a day, in a day, in a moment with God. So watch this. Many of you, if this is a repeat, I'll try and go fast. If you're hearing this for the first time, you have to hear it to know what I'm talking about. So the chairs that you sit in, we were given a bunch. It cost over $19,000 to buy the chairs. And we used to be in the North Sanctuary, and we had pews, and the pews were old, and so they didn't feel so good because the cushion was all gone, and you couldn't fit very many people in the pews, because when you take a pew, you kind of want your space, right? So like one big pew could only have like three or four people in it. And so we wanted individual chairs because we were growing and we wanted to grow. And so we began to pray for the chairs, ask God for the chairs. I went and got a quote on how much the chairs would cost. I picked out what style of chair I wanted. I picked out what color of chair I wanted. We had everything all ready to go, and we're just waiting on God. Well, then one day I talked to my boss, and I find out that my boss, these chairs are from a company called Bertolini, and that's like out Chino way or something like that. It's out that way. And so I'm talking to my boss, and he's asking me about the church or something like that, and I tell him, oh, well, we want some chairs and whatever, and I start telling him that we're looking at these chairs, and he tells me, oh, I know the guy who owns Bertolini. What are the chances, right? So I'm like, wow. So I come home. I'm very excited to tell Pastor Drew. I'm like, check it out. He knows the guy who owns it. That's probably what's going to happen. God's going to get us our chairs. He's going to let him know about the need, and it's going to be so awesome. And so we're waiting for the chairs. Then we go to a pastor's breakfast one day in the city. And as we're sitting at the breakfast, Pastor Drew's on my left, and there's this pastor who's in the city on my right. And I don't really know him. I would say an acquaintance at best. I knew his name. I knew which church he was from. That's about it. Pastor Drew knew him a little bit more. And we're sitting there, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says, I want you to ask him if they would like to give some money from their missions to help you guys buy chairs. And I was horrified. I thought, Lord, I don't want to ask him that. That's embarrassing. First of all, his church is smaller than our church. And we did an offering from our church. Our church, we gave them an opportunity to sew into the chairs, and our offering was about $400. I need over $19,000. And so now I'm going to ask a church in the city, a much smaller church, if they'd like to give from their missions fund to help us. And what is that going to accomplish exactly? I said, I don't want to do that, Lord. He said, just ask him. So against everything in my flesh, I was waiting for my moment because I had already decided I was going to obey God. And he said, so how are things going over at Hope, Tamara? And I said, well, pretty good, pretty good. I said, we're trying to get some chairs right now. And I said, you know, hey, maybe, as if it had just come to me, hey, maybe you might like to help us from your missions fund or something to buy some chairs. And then there was just silence. He was in the middle of chewing, and it felt like 2 hours. But then, and when I did that, I could feel Pastor Drew, who was next to me, swing around in his chair and look at me like, what the heck are you doing? And so I was just trying not to look at him and just trying to stay focused over here. And what ended up happening is, not their church, but through that conversation with that gentleman, I had a chair, I had a check for over $19,000 in about 3 weeks or something. It wasn't long at all. Yeah, right? So in the morning time, as Pastor Drew was talking about, you know what we have a tendency to do, we look back, we look ahead, but we never stay in the sweet spot. What is the sweet spot? The sweet spot is this abiding in him. He abides in me and I abide in him. You know what? It is this daily bread that takes place over here. In Psalm 68, the Bible says that God carries our burdens daily. So whatever's happening, and isn't it interesting? He doesn't carry them weekly or monthly or yearly. And he intercedes for us daily. See, God is into the here and now. So what ends up, so if you look at what we have a tendency to do and what we need to get out of doing, we need to take everything that happens in a day. If he's carrying our burdens daily, then he knows I've got some burdens, right? I mean, y'all aren't shocked if something doesn't go right, right? Stuff happens. But what I was doing, look at what came from that. So I was figuring out, what a coincidence that was, that my boss just happens to know that the owner of the chair company, the very chair company where I picked up my chair, by the way. So I got this whole thing figured out. God's not going there. God had something else. God had a different plan. And God's plan was over here, that I would be sitting at a pastor's breakfast one day, and that he would speak to me and ask me to do something that was way out of my comfort zone. But I'm so glad it happened this way, and let me tell you why. Because not only did we get the chairs that you're sitting in, that organization ended up giving us a check for over $19,000, and we bought these chairs, but then that organization also ended up putting a brand new roof on the north side, which was crazy expensive, yeah. And so they put that on there, and then they also purchased us the church van. They also have paid for five interns as employees here for several years, that they paid for that. They also gave us $15,000 towards the South Sanctuary. I believe they also gave us $12,000. For the $12,000 for in here, $15,000 for outside. Now you tell me who had a better plan. Yeah. And that's daily. Yeah, that's, see, you know what, and that's nothing. All the stuff, the church needs it, we need it, God's kingdom, we're doing something here, he's going to provide that. That's all great. But that's nothing. You know what happened on this day over here? God is teaching me to trust him. to do what he tells me to do. He's teaching me, hey, Tamara, we could have done it that way. Could God have done that if he wanted to? I mean, he so could have done that. But he's got a way better plan. I mean, wouldn't you rather have, and I tell you what, at one point, that was kind of like the worst moment in my life to think, oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. I'm going to ask this guy for this. It turned into one of my best moments in my life. Can you see that? Amen. I look back on this day, and I just go, wow, God, you're amazing. What God was doing is God was teaching me, Tamara, just let me be your God. Just let me be your God. Amen. Give me lordship. Lordship is Lord means the one that directs my life. He's trying to direct something here, and it's way more than some chairs. He's trying to direct a whole provision and an incredible relationship that I need. Because all kinds of other things are coming down the pipeline. To believe God for chairs is one thing. It's another thing when your mom is rear-ended in an accident and in a hospital and not doing well and nobody knows what to do. Come on. And they're trying to give her chemotherapy and it just doesn't even make any sense. Wow. 1 minute she's fine and the next minute you're trying to give her chemo. And you know what I did? God, help me. What do I do? Help me. I was at the mall one day, and I had Shayla. Now, look at how important this is. Stay with me. I had Shayla in a cart, and 1 minute she's in the basket there, or the stroller, and I'm talking to these two people. Oh, hi. You know what? And I'm talking, and then next thing you know, I turn around, like in a second, and Shayla is gone. Whoa. See, God knew that day was going to happen. God knew what was going to happen with my mom. God knew that we were going to take a vacation and that my son was going to end up hospitalized because there's some cracking weird disease up at Yosemite, and now my son has all the symptoms, and I'm driving home just going, what the heck? Why don't they tell people if they got some deadly disease up there? How come that's not like well known before people are planning their vacations going to Yosemite? What the heck? But you see, in every one of those moments, my relationship with God, which is what he's all into, listen, we have not because we ask not. And a lot of times we don't ask because we're so busy figuring it out ourselves. We know everything. We got it. We just know. We don't know nothing. I'll never forget in the North Sanctuary is I was working, doing that floor over there and everything, and I've kind of had it, and I'm just like, good night, Lord. You know what? I am a mom. You know what I'm saying? I am not a contractor. This is nuts. My hands were bleeding. My body was crazy sore. I'm laying tile. I don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I'm doing it. Much like you, huh? Whoa. We got like a human thing going here. So I'm doing all this stuff, and I just tell the Lord, you know what, Lord? I can't do this. I'm not a contractor. I am a mom. And you know what he told me? He said, you haven't asked me for help. It's like, come on, Sherlock. Isn't it obvious? Look around here, right? So I said, okay, Lord. And that scripture comes to me right away. You have not, because you? I said, okay, Lord, you're right. I haven't asked. I'm asking now. I need some help. I am just a mom. I kid you not. I'm telling you, this is your God. I kid you not. In less than a week, I'm down here working. Is that a better sound effect? I'm down here working. I hear a knock. I open up the door over there by the office, and this man is standing there with a newspaper in his hand, and he said, do you need help here? It's crazy. I've been down here for a year and a half working, and nobody's ever knocked on the door and asked me if I need some help. And I said, I'm sorry, what? And he said, do you need some help here? I saw you in the newspaper. Now, we had ended up in the newspaper or whatever, somewhere ahead of that, a week or two, 3 weeks, I don't know. He said, I saw you in the newspaper, and I was just wondering, do you need help? I said, yes, I do, as a matter of fact. And he said, well, I have some friends, and me and my friends, like, we're skilled laborers. We know how to do all kinds of stuff. You ever heard of Habitat for Humanity? I said, I have. He said, we're the Whittier chapter. We closed down. But me and my buddies, we still like to do stuff, so I saw you in the paper, and I was just wondering, would you like some help? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Don't do that. This is your God. Daily in a relationship with you. Daily wanting you to ask him. I needed his help many days before that day. But as I start to whine, I'm a mom, I'm not a contractor. As I'm doing that, he says, you haven't asked me for help. He wants the relationship. Do you understand that? He will let me fuss all day long. Or I can say, hey, God, I need your help. You gonna bring him?
Yeah, amen. Two things. Stay here. Two things. The reason why God, I was listening to some great preaching this week, and the pastor said that God wants us to ask. The promises are for us, but God wants us to ask the promises. And that was awesome. And then the other thing, that's why the Israelites were delivered, because they cried out. Yeah. That's what the Bible says. Oh, and one more thing. You left Shayla hanging. I have no idea.
Well, they all know she's here and well, so yeah. Well, that was, you know what? I kind of went like ghetto in the store that day looking for my daughter, but because I thought someone had stolen her. I mean, she was there and then she wasn't. It was just so deliberate. But anyway, Shayla used to like to play hide and sneak. And so she had gotten out of that stroller and she was playing hide and sneak. She had gotten right underneath one of those rounders, you know, of clothes. So she just popped out just that quick and was under those clothes. And as I'm calling her, Shayla, Shayla, well, she's hiding, so she's not telling me. You know, I mean, here I am. She's hiding. So anyhow, that's what happened. It was not a good day. But I just want to, let's just bring this. You know what? How many of you can say, man, I've been that person in my relationship with God? If that's been you, if you're guilty of that, if you're saying, I don't want to be that, God, help me to daily look to you, to daily, you know what, ask you and involve you in my life, because that's what we need to do. Then, go ahead.
No. So, here's what I want to do. I want to wrap this up, but I want to, Tamara started to ask, how many of you, that's you, and you daily have just, you just say, Pastor, God is speaking to you, to Tamara, to speak to me, and God is speaking to me, but I want to say, man, I don't want to do that anymore, and I want to start today. If that's you, say, I want to just really start to be dependent on God every single day. I don't want to lose my life. My life is passing me by. I don't want that to happen. God spoke to you, Pastor, to speak to me, and he's using Tamara's examples. God is speaking to you guys. Father, we have our hands raised up, and we say, God, help us. We want every day to be dependent upon you, God. We thank you that you love us so much that you're there to listen to us and answer our prayers. Go before us and make the crooked path straight. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray.